to do a little recap, the wands to me represent the element of fire and represent thinking or your ideas. And so as we begin to look first of all at the Ace of Wands, what we see here, if you have your symbology in front of you, is a wand comes out of, we're looking at it, the right side, held by the right hand, by the way it's held, and it's a very strong wand, and it has three sprigs, which most wands do have, and on those three sprigs there, some of them have three leaves, and one has four, and on the falling down, not attached to anything, I'm just looking at this, three, four on one side, four, five, six, seven, eight, that's what I thought, eight little leaves falling down to the ground. Now, eight represents in the higher arcana the strength card. So he's showing that you've got this idea and you have strength to carry it out. Now, how do we know that we're carrying it out? Is because when we look at the symbolism, you've got in the bottom of the card here, you've got the river of life running through, and then behind that is the castle of dreams. This is the goal. This is the new idea. This is the new thing that's being brought in. So the new idea arrives, and as it arrives, then what do you do? And that's what we see in number two. And just to clarify, the lower arcana are very simple, very direct. This is a condition often easily changed, much easier to change than your habits of the court cards or the laws and the lessons of the higher arcana. So we have this idea, and so now we get to the Two of Wands, and we contemplate the idea. Now, how we know we're contemplating it, behind the man who's standing in his castle, obviously beside his castle, he's reached a castle, or he's in a castle, he's got one wand here, again with the three sprigs on it, and each one of these has three little leaves attached to the wall. These are your old ideas. This is established ideas. This is what you've got. Now, he's got in his right hand the world, and he's looking out over quite a very nice scene of houses and pastoral, so looking at some hills, a lake, or it could be the sea too also, it could be the sea, a body of water we'll say. And in his left hand he has another wand, also with the sprigs showing creativity and growth, and it's sitting on top of a little bit of a pillar here with the roses and lilies. And if you'll remember from the magician has the roses and lilies. The roses of pure thought and lilies of, sorry, I got that incorrectly. The roses of red roses of desire and the white lilies of pure thought coming together brings aspiration. So here's this one wand now become on, he's got it in his left hand as he's contemplating it, but it's above the roses and lilies showing this is what he's aspiring to. Now, one of the things that we also know is that in your mind and in your life, there's only so much room. When you're young, you've got room to put lots of new things in, but when you get older, there's usually pretty full. So we have to turn our back, or we have to let something go. And so that's why we contemplate it. We balance it out. Do we want to do this, or do we want to keep that? What do we want to do? And so at this point, we have a new idea that we're now contemplating. Now, in number three, which is always a creative expression number, we have now, it's more like a merchant that's standing on the hillside looking at the sea, and you've got three boats actually standing out to sea. And he has behind him two wands firmly entrenched in the ground, and the third wand, which is now back into his right hand, and he's holding onto it. Now, there's some interesting things about the clothing of the merchant. He's dressed in a red robe, which is energy. He has some green sort of a shoulder element over him, which is usually denoted with healing. And then there's a blue, which is inspiration and to me, intuitiveness, and on his right hand. Now, I always equate this with projecting your ideas out. Oh, and I forgot the head bandage. He's got kind of like a head scarf, except it's not a scarf, it's like a thing over the third eye. And it shows up again in a couple of the other symbols in the wands as well. But you only see his back. You can't see his face. So he's projecting his ideas or his thoughts out. Now, it always reminds me of the merchant who was projecting his ideas out into the world. Now, they used to send, remember these are 100 years old, they used to send ships out to China and other places with goods in order to come back. Now, when you did that, you end up not really knowing how it's going to be. Like you sort of project them out and you pray and hope and everything that those ships are going to come back in. but you do not know when you start. And isn't that the same with anything that you really want? You've contemplated your idea, you've thought about it, and okay, you begin to do it. You begin to put it out into the world. And basically, you hope it comes out the way that you want it to, but does it always? I haven't always found it does. Sometimes there's all sorts of things on the way. But you do that because you're going to trust that that's going to come into being. Now, in the number four symbol, it's as though those boats have come back in now, because here we're celebrating the idea. We've got four wands firmly, like sitting on the ground here, the laurel, sort of a laurel harvest wreath around these grapes, which represent abundance. There's all sorts of things in this wreath that's around the two outside wands. And people are coming out from the castle with flowers of celebration. They're obviously celebrating, they're happy, and they're the castle. So in other words, the castle that we saw in the first ace in the background, we've now achieved. The castle in the second is not that castle. That's where you come from. That's what you've already achieved and maintained. And so this basically tells us how we're supposed to think. Have the thought, contemplate the thought, project the thought, and then we will have the reward of the thought coming and manifesting. That is how we want, but you know, we're humans, right? So we look at then at the five. As we look at the five of wands here, what we see here is that there are five people. Some have shoes on, some have boots on, different things. But what's interesting is these five wands forming all sorts of, clashing away, fighting. One fellow on the left has that around his eye, that headband. I'm going to just call it a headband around his third eye again. But he's holding his hand. He's holding in his hand his wand with one hand. And you will notice a fellow on the right is also holding his wand with one hand, while the third one, where two of them are holding them with two hands. I mean, let's face it, we know, tennis watcher that I am and player that I used to be, when you got two hands in certain things, you have much more power. With one hand isn't as always strong, when you think especially with the long wands that we've got here. So what I have seen with this one is the confusion and therefore consequently indecision that happens when you've got all sorts of ideas going rampant all around in your head. How you complicate things, everything gets all twisted. Nothing is grounded in this particular symbol. There's nothing here that says this is solid. It's all in the mind going around and round and round and making a whole pile of confusion. So that is what we'll tend to do. Now, if we want to change that, then what we need to do is become more like the six of wands, where we now have straightened out those five ideas, instead of all that confusion running around. And the sixth one is the man on the white horse holding his wand in the right hand. Now, the right hand is always considered as the masculine, the doing hand. So he's holding his wand, and he has the laurel wreath of victory in the top, and then he also has a laurel wreath of victory on top of his head, and he's moving in the direction of where he's going. Now, the interesting thing is the two wands that is behind him only have sprigs on the top. They don't have them further down. Most of the others have three sprigs. And so it's just a matter, but anyway, he's got them all working in the direction that he needs to go in. So he's got them aligned. And I have, because of the laurel wreath of victories here, given the symbol, this card, the idea of victory is assured. But you've got to put your ideas into practice. It's not going to just be happening. You've got to keep on going and working towards it. Now, when we take a look at, as we're moving along, we come into the number seven. And this is the first symbol that I've placed in the defensive pattern. And we'll be talking about that in 2 weeks' time, because I'm going to go over all the little patterns that we may find on the last show. This is my idea anyway. And so what we see here, we now see these six of wands on the front at the very bottom as they're moving away. Are they moving away or are they attacking him? Anyway, he's feeling a little bit of attacked. If you look at him, he's got one boot and one shoe. So right there, we know he's not solid. And the way this is drawn, it shows a little bit of a water, a little bit of a river here in between. A little bit of emotionality, a little bit of splitting. In the original symbols, I didn't think that was as clear as that, but that's okay. But the main thing is he's got his seventh wand, which he's holding in two hands, and he feels like he's defending these ideas. Now, that can be often what happens with that, is that people do not always support our ideas when we start projecting them out. This is a very common thing that people find, that they don't get support. They don't, whether they don't get support from the family, whether they don't get support from friends. And very often in books where they talk about how to create your world and reality, they often say choose who you tell your plans to and don't share them until they're well in case. And that is because the mental thought form can be attacked because other people don't believe. And people never really want you to change. They don't want you to change anything that you've perhaps, you know, been. And those of us that are committed to self-growth and self-awareness, that's the one thing we do. We change, trustingly anyway. We change, we grow, or we have a goal that we decide to go for. And so the others around us don't want that status quo shifted or changed, because it means they have to then look at themselves. So anyway, what we'll see here with the seven is the insecure, the unsureness, the kind of concern of your own ideas, and the need really is to become a lot stronger in them. Now, as we move into the number eight, what it shows here, no matter what you're doing, that your ideas are going to come into play. And you've got eight wands in the air coming in at an angle, which means eventually they're going to hit the ground. But what you'll notice is how similar to that symbology in the card is to the ace. There's a river of life and there's a castle of dreams, but it's further away. So where before the idea was really close and there, it's like, okay, we can see it, we know what we're going to do, we're going to know the direction we're going in, we've got all that sorted out, we know exactly where we're heading here. It just says, keep on going because it's all in process, but it hasn't manifested yet. You know, one of the things I had to learn in my life was to be patient, because I always wanted everything yesterday when I was young. And I found that sometimes things took a while to come into being. And so here this is talking about that. Just everything is in track. It's just not manifesting yet. It's in the nethers, as they sometimes talk about it. It's in that uncertainty. Now, eventually those ideas land. And so when we look at the nine, we see all eight are in the ground behind them. Some people could see that as the sea, or some people just see a little bit rough land, depending on how you want to look at that. But look at the man. He's standing here quite sturdy. He's holding on to one. He's looking back at that other eight, and he's got a bandage on his head. Now, this is the second level of the defense mechanism, because now we're defending our ideas. Now we're really got, you know, we're going to fight, but we're going to fight for these. And one of the elements, for every action, there's a reaction. This is not perhaps the most preferred way of going about creating what you want to create, because you're going to create a little bit of hesitations or responses anyway that may not be as effective as you would like. And so when we look at the number 10, which is, to me, is now the man's carrying all 10 of his wands. He's carrying them awkwardly. He's carrying them so he cannot see where he's going. And yet, if he could see, he would see there was the castle or in the manor. And you could see there's some plowed fields. We're ready to go to work. So he's very, very close to his goal, but he cannot see it. And this is the worry card, as far as I'm concerned. This is the overactive mind. When the mind is overactive, it's going to do its thing. It's going to work away. And what it's doing is actually blocking. You're not carrying the thoughts that are going on in your mind effectively. You're not seeing the direction of where you're going. You're just doing. And unfortunately, it doesn't really achieve where you want to go. So in effect, one of the things I love about the one symbology is that the first four symbols tell us how to think, which is know your goal, contemplate your goal, project your goal, and then receive it. The other ones show kind of like if we get scrambled, then we just have to keep on plugging along with the six. The seven, we get uncertain. The eight says hang in there because it's happening. The nine says do not be defensive. And then the 10 says don't be so overactive in your mind that you can't see the goal, because the goal is there. And so this is when I'm reading and I have these symbols come up, they tell me what is happening with a person's thought processes. Because I can see what's happening with the thought processes, I'm able to actually be able to aid them in how to get that. I have a lot of different techniques of getting your mind working well for you. I have a way in which we transform thinking processes. We have a way in releasing thoughts or pulling them, as I call. And so that it's like we're able to get clarity in the head, because if your mind is not clear, what ends up happening is that you end up really confused. You really do get like that Five of Wands. There's all sorts of ideas going on, and the 5 and 10 often come together. And so it's a matter really of having clarity in your thinking process. So the wand symbology will always show you how you or your client think. And thinking is the basis of pretty well most of metaphysics. How you think. We create a reality by how we think. So thinking becomes really, really important. So just remember, get your goal, contemplate your goal, project your goal, and achieve it. And the other symbols will say it does take time. Most of us don't, sometimes we get a goal that comes up right away, but mostly, no, it doesn't come right away.